In a fashion like this, to be able to worship Him in spirit and in truth. It's always good to be with those of like precious faith. I appreciate every single person for being here. It's encouraging, and I hope that if you're visiting with us, that you'll want to come back and be with us, that we make you feel comfortable, we make you feel welcome, and that you'll want to come back. And for all the members, we're glad you're here. And I hope that it's mutual and that what I say in the sermon will be beneficial to you. Obviously, as you well know, this is the first Sunday in a brand new year. And I'm thankful for that, January the 1st. And there's a lot of sermons that would be fitting. Sometimes individuals like to hear particular sermons on various things that are on people's mind at any given time. You could do a sermon on new things in the Bible. New year, and there are new things in the Bible. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17. A new creature, the Bible talks about there. It talks about new heaven and a new earth in 2 Peter chapter 3. You could talk about Bible beginnings. Here we are beginning a new year, and so you could talk about some beginnings in the Bible from the book of Genesis and the book of Acts. Chapter 2 is referred to as a beginning, as Peter referred to the day of Pentecost as a beginning. So you could do a lot of lessons that would be fitting at this time of the year. But I made a commitment to you that I would start a series on touchy topics. And if I don't get that started, then we'll never get through it. And so we'll start that this morning. I don't know if we're going to do a lesson from that series every Sunday morning until it's finished, or one or two a month, whatever the case is. You've turned in a good number of questions, and ones that I appreciate, that I look forward to studying, whether it's about being in the military, and some of you have asked about our responsibility, our attitude toward family members who are no longer faithful. That's a good question. You've asked about one that we're going to talk about this morning, which is on the Holy Spirit. You wanted me to be specific about the Holy Spirit, and I want to try to do that this morning. We're going to talk about marriage, divorce, and remarriage. I want to do a series of lessons on the eldership that we've recently talked about, and that needs to be brought forward. There's a lot of lessons that we need to bring forward. The problem is, can't do all of them every on one Sunday, so we've got to spread it out. And then in addition to that, I've got to be sure to finish the series of lessons that we started on major lessons from the minor prophets. We're not done with that series. So we'll get to all of those lessons, Lord willing, as time comes. When the question was turned in concerning the Holy Spirit, it was asked, I believe, if I remember right, to be specific about the Holy Spirit and who the Holy Spirit is. And I'm going to try to do that, but in saying that, I want to try to be specific. I'm not saying that this morning I'm going to be comprehensive about it. There's no way in one sermon to say all that could be said about the Holy Spirit. Not a chance that we could do that, unless we were here all day, and you wouldn't appreciate that, I'm sure. But I was looking at some lessons that I'd done in the past on the Holy Spirit, and I've done a sermon on misconceptions about the Holy Spirit, who the Holy Spirit is, why there is so much misunderstanding about the Holy Spirit, the work of the Holy Spirit. We've talked about the manifestation of the Holy Spirit, whether you're talking about the gifts of the Holy Spirit, plural gifts, 1 Corinthians 9, or you're talking about the gift of the Holy Spirit from Acts chapter 2 and in verse 38. Or you're talking about the dwelling of the Holy Spirit from the book of Romans and other passages. Or you're talking about the baptism of the Holy Spirit, Acts chapter 2 and Acts chapter 10. There are a lot of different ways to go and approach thinking about the Holy Spirit. I think I shared with you some time back that I've been working for months on a little project, on a little workbook on the Holy Spirit, 13 lessons concerning the Holy Spirit. And having put that together, there's no way to talk about everything that could be said about the Holy Spirit. And yet it is a topic where Christians believe the Holy Spirit. They believe in the Holy Spirit. They know some things about the Holy Spirit. But yet there is so much that we don't know about the Holy Spirit. And I suppose that one of the reasons is because it is a topic that is hardly ever preached on. And I don't say that to slight the work of anyone. I'm just simply saying it is a topic where we don't have a lot of teaching many times on the Holy Spirit. And yet the very book that talks about God the Father and about God the Son talks about God the Holy Spirit. And so we've got to just simply study what the Bible says about the Holy Spirit. And it's vital for us to understand, if we're not going to be deceived by so much false teaching concerning the Holy Spirit, for us to know what the Bible does say about the Holy Spirit. I'm just going to give you a few points this morning. I don't have an outline. I appreciate the ones that ask for outlines, but I don't have an outline for a sermon this morning. So I just want you to listen to some things that come to mind as I think about the Holy Spirit, and in a general sense, what we need to at least be aware of concerning the Holy Spirit. We're not going to talk about all the Bible says about the manifestations of the Holy Spirit. All that I can know about the Holy Spirit is revealed in the Bible. That's it. There's no go-to source outside of the Bible that I can go to learn about the Holy Spirit. Now, I might go to some writing that man has done, maybe some workbook or some commentary or something along those lines, and I can read about what men have wrote about what the Bible says about the Holy Spirit. But if I want to cut out the middleman, just go to the Bible. That's your best choice, is just to simply go to what the Bible says. And I've got a lot of books, as I'm sure you do. A lot of workbooks and commentaries and books in general about the Holy Spirit. Some of them good and some of them junk. So you've got to be careful about what you read. I want to make this suggestion as we think about the Holy Spirit and we think about any other topic that we try to study. I suggest to you, when you're studying a topic, write down on a piece of paper, first of all, everything that you can think of that you know about that topic. Everything. Like the Holy Spirit. And then you can go to the Bible and you write down and you compile everything you can that the Bible says about the Holy Spirit. And then you just kind of add into what comes to your mind, what you already knew about the Holy Spirit as maybe forgotten along the way. And then if you want to, go to some workbook or something that someone has done and you read about it and see if maybe there is some point that you didn't pick up on that you could have picked up on. Now, you could go to the Bible first, and that's a good suggestion. But I say write down everything that you know, because sometimes it's fleeting thoughts. So write down everything that you know about the topic. In the book of 1 John chapter 5, verses 7 and 8, a passage that so many people know so very well, the Bible makes mention of the Holy Spirit. There is no doubt that the Bible teaches about the Holy Spirit. And I don't have to convince this room full of people that the Holy Spirit is a real being. And I'll qualify that in just a moment as we think about who the Holy Spirit is. But in 1 John chapter 5, verses 7 and 8, just for emphasis' sake, "For there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Spirit." Now, I use the King James Version. The King James Version says ghost, and that's okay. But don't read the word ghost and think in your mind that you're thinking about some X-Files being, or you're thinking about Casper, or you're thinking about something that is unknown. He's talking about the Holy Spirit. And so whether you have the word spirit or you have the word ghost, they all come from the same Greek word, which can mean breath. It can mean breathing. And the context will determine what he's talking about. And the Holy Spirit and these three are one. And there are three that bear witness in earth, the spirit, the water, and the blood. And these three agree in one. And we'll come back to that passage and talk more about it in just a moment. But the first thing that I want you to understand, in addition to the fact, we'll put down this one, that the Bible speaks of the Holy Spirit. I want you to know that first. I understand that you know that. Genesis chapter 1, 1 John chapter 5, Hebrews chapter 9 and a lot of other passages in general talk about the Holy Spirit. I'm not going to hash out all the passages where the Bible mentions Spirit. But the Bible does speak about the Holy Spirit. But also, I want you to think about the fact that the Holy Spirit had a part in creation. I may mention to you many times that if we did not have the Bible, and I'm thankful we do, but if we did not have the Bible, we would not know everything that we do know about God. You agree? But yet I could look out and see the creation and understand that there is a being that is higher than man that created all things, because the things that I see did not create themselves, Romans chapter 1. But that doesn't tell me a lot of things about God, though it attests to the fact that God is real. Psalm 19, 1 and 2, and Psalm 90, verses 1 and 2. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the earth showeth forth His handiwork. Day unto day showeth speech, and so forth. And then he says in verse 3 that there is no language where their voice is not heard. That is, that all creation, all people can look out and see the handiwork of God. And that those things speak loudly to the existence of God. I read in the book of John, chapter 1. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And you're familiar with that too. In the beginning, rather, was the Word, John 1, verse 1. And the Word was God, and the Word was with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. And in Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, when the Bible talks about, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And so, yes, God created all things, but He did it through agency. Did you realize that it was by Christ that the world was made? We'll get to the Holy Spirit and the role He played, but did you realize that though God created it, it was done through Christ Jesus? We just read that in John chapter 1. About the Word, without Him was not anything made that was made. And in addition to that, you've got a statement that Paul made over in the book of Colossians, chapter 1. When he talks about the fact that God had created all things, in whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins, that is through Christ's blood, who is the image of the invisible God. Christ is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. Now watch verse 16. For by Him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by Him and for Him. Now someone says, well, I thought that was in reference to the Father. Keep reading. The next verse, and He is before all things, and by Him all things consist. And He is the head of the body, the church. God the Father is not the head of the church. He put the church under the feet of Christ. The He in this passage is in reference to Christ, the head of the church. And yet the Father created all things, but He did it by the Word, by Christ. Well, preacher, what about the Holy Spirit? Going back to the book of Genesis, chapter 1, I'll give you two passages that talk about that. In Genesis chapter 1, and again, we'll begin with verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. Now watch this. And the Spirit of God moved. Some versions say the Spirit of God brooded. The Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And so in the book of Genesis, chapter 1, you have the Father mentioned, you have Christ, the Word, and the Holy Spirit, all taking part in creation. Then you come over to the 26th chapter of the book of Job. In Job chapter 26 and in verse 13, by His Spirit He hath garnished the heavens. Now I'll tell you this as well as a side point. You've got to watch the uppercase, lowercase in the King James Version. Don't always assume that when He's talking about Spirit lowercase that He is not speaking of the Holy Spirit. And don't always assume when the Bible uses a capital S for Spirit that that's in reference to the Holy Spirit. You got to be real careful about that. For example, in Job chapter 26, if you were to read from the American Standard Version, the word Spirit is capitalized, but it's not in the New King James Version. Don't put all your weight on whether or not a letter is capitalized. The context will always decide for you whether he's talking about a breath. Sometimes the word Spirit is used. Or whether he's talking about the Spirit of man. Or whether he's talking about the Holy Spirit. All three of them coming from the original Greek word. Hebrew for the Old Testament. And so you got to be careful about that. By the way, when the Bible was originally penned, New Testament in Greek, Old Testament in Hebrew, guess what? It was all uppercase letters. Not upper and lower. That came later down the line as we've studied about how we got the English Bible. But I want you to see that point in Job chapter 26 and in verse 13, that by His Spirit He hath garnished the heavens. And so the Holy Spirit had a part in the creation. But also I want you to understand, don't miss his point, that the Holy Spirit is a person. I'm just putting this up here because I know there's note takers in the audience. The Holy Spirit is a person. The Holy Spirit is not an it. So don't say it when you're referring to the Holy Spirit. The Bible doesn't. The Bible refers to the Holy Spirit as He. And the reason He does that is because the Holy Spirit is a person. Just as God the Father is a person. And God the Son is a person. God the Holy Spirit is a person. And not an it. So I've got a little list that I want to share with you of times when the Bible talks about the Holy Spirit and refers to Him as He. And what He does. And sometimes when you think about things in the Bible that are personified, that is, they are given qualities of a person. The Holy Spirit is given qualities of a person. He's a person. Now there are things that are not, that would not be a person, that is personified in the Bible. For example, in the book of Proverbs, many times wisdom is personified and referred to as a her. And many times in the book of Proverbs. But notice this in John 14, 26, He teaches. John 14, 26, He reminds. John 15, 26, He bears witness. Guides, John 16, 13, hears, John 16, 13. Think about this. He speaks, He hears, He guides, He teaches, He reminds, He hears, John 16, 13, He speaks, John 16, 13, He glorifies, John 16, 14. He gives life, Galatians 6, 8. He moves, as we read from Genesis 1-2. He searches, Romans 8:27, 1 Corinthians 2:10-11. He empowers, Acts 1-8. You shall receive power after that the Holy Spirit has come upon you. He forbids, Acts 16:6-7. They were forbidden of the Holy Spirit. He reveals, 1 Corinthians 2:10. We'll talk more about that in a moment. He sheds abroad love of God, Romans 5:5. He influences, Luke 24. He helps our infirmity, Luke 24, 46 through 49, if you're writing that down. He helps our infirmity, Romans 8, 26. He makes intercession, Acts 8, 26. He shows, John 16, 13 through 15. He delivers law, Romans 8, 2. And He gives commandments, Acts 1, 2. Now, if you didn't get all that, that's 20 things that the Bible refers to, at least 19, 20 on this list, that the Holy Spirit is said to do in the Bible. Because He is a person and is able to move. You see that point? Not an it. So don't refer to the Holy Spirit as an it. The other thing I want to share with you, point number 4, and I think many times this is missed, and it's missed because folks just don't know how to go about proving it many times. The Holy Spirit is divine. Deity. Which means godlike. Means divine. Deity means divine. The word God means deity. That which is divine. And the Bible refers to the Holy Spirit as God. In fact, the Bible refers to the Father as God, as you're aware, Genesis 1:1, refers to the Son as God in Acts chapter 20 and then verse 28, and it refers to the Holy Spirit as God in Acts chapter 5, as we've already studied in our Acts class, of which if you're here and you don't come to Bible class, you need to come to Bible class, and you learn more and more. But in Acts chapter 5, he's referred to as God. Thou hast not lied unto men, but unto God. And he's told, why has Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Spirit? And so he's referred to as being divine in Acts the 5th chapter. But that's not the only passage that talks about it. We talk about many times that God is eternal, from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God, Psalm 90 verses 1 and 2. That the Son is eternal. And now, Father, give unto me the glory that I had with thee before the world was, the Lord prayed in John chapter 17, verses 4 and 5. What about the Holy Spirit? Is the Holy Spirit eternal? Or is the Holy Spirit a created it? Neither one. He's not an it, he wasn't created. He's eternal. You want the passage for it? Read in the book of Hebrews chapter 9. And notice what the Hebrews writer stated concerning the Holy Spirit. I once asked a man that was in a charismatic religion who believed that he was being led of the Holy Spirit. And he had the Holy Spirit like the apostles had it. Well, if you have the Holy Spirit like the apostles had the Holy Spirit, then you ought to be able to do apostle things. Fair enough. So I asked him, I said, if you had the Holy Spirit, tell me what the Spirit said about himself in Hebrews chapter 9. He said, now you're going to say, if I can't quote it, then I don't have the Holy Spirit. Now, wait a minute. If you have the Holy Spirit revealing things unto you, then surely the Spirit can tell you what the Spirit said about Himself in Hebrews chapter 9. Well, He couldn't do it. What's that tell you? Well, I can open up and read from the book of God what the Bible says concerning the Holy Spirit in Hebrews chapter 9, verse 14. How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit, offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. How many, don't raise your hand, but how many of us this morning knew that the Bible referred to the Spirit as being eternal in the book of Hebrews? You do now. And so, the Holy Spirit is divine. That is, He has God-like qualities. He's deity. And so forth. He's eternal. But that doesn't mean that the Holy Spirit is all-knowing. Say, preacher, what do you mean about that? I know that God the Father is all-knowing. But do you realize that there were some things that Jesus didn't know while He was on the earth? Did you know that? Well, preacher, how could you say, as you did in the Bible class, stay with me, as you did in the Bible class this morning, that Jesus knows the hearts of all men, the Lord knoweth the hearts of all men, and that Jesus knew what was in man, how can you say that Jesus didn't know everything then? I thought I read somewhere that when Jesus was talking about the end, that He said, no man knows when the Son will come, but the Father only, and the angels don't know, and He said, not the Son Himself knows. So did you know that when Jesus was on the earth, there were some things Jesus didn't know? Well, the text said He didn't know. He Himself said that He didn't know. And the reason I say that the Holy Spirit is not all-knowing is because if the Holy Spirit was all-knowing, then why did He have to speak only what the Father gave to Him? Why did He have to get the words from the Father to reveal to man? He'd just reveal it. But the Bible teaches us in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and chapter 2 that the words that were spoken are the words that the Spirit revealed. And that it was the Spirit that revealed the mind of God. And He uses the illustration that as you're looking at me this morning, I don't have a clue what you're thinking about. I hope you're listening to the lesson, but you could be thinking about anything. You could be thinking about how the Cardinals got beat yesterday pretty bad. I don't know. Bernice says, no, I'm sure she thinks about worship and the sermon. But my point about that is, I wouldn't know that unless you told me. I don't know what you're thinking about this morning, but you could very well reveal to me what you're thinking about, and then I will know. Well, in a like way, the Bible says that no man knows the mind of God, but the Spirit, whom God revealed those things to, and then the Holy Spirit revealed them unto man. You see that point? Don't forget about that. Number four, the Holy Spirit is divine. Number five, the Holy Spirit had a part in Revelation. This is a point that most, if not all of you, know. But you need to know it, and you need to be reminded about it. The Holy Spirit played a part in the revealing of God's Word. I just may mention that to you from 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and 2. In John 14, 15, 16, and I've reiterated that over and over, you should know that like the back of your hand, is when the Lord promised to the apostles, you are not in John 14, 15, 16, so far as whom the Lord is talking to in that passage. As a result of what the apostles was going to receive, you are the beneficiary of that because we had the Word of God. But you're not in that those chapters. He is speaking to the apostles. And sometimes the Bible speaks to people that when He's not talking to me. For example, sometimes He talks to fathers. If you're here and you're not a father, He's not talking to you in the book of Ephesians chapter 6 when He says, fathers, provoke not your children unto wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Sometimes He's talking to children. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Ephesians chapter 6. Well, that might not apply to you. Sometimes He's talking to husbands and wives. And like He does in Ephesians chapter 5. Husbands, love your wives. And wives, you submit yourselves unto your husbands. Sometimes He talks to elders. Acts chapter 20 and 1 Peter chapter 5 and 1 Timothy chapter 3 and Titus chapter 1. Sometimes He talks to deacons in 1 Timothy chapter 3. Sometimes He talks to preachers in 1 and 2 Timothy and Titus. You get the point about that. Sometimes He's talking exclusively to the apostles. So you got to pay attention to the context. In John chapter 14, 15, 16, He's talking to the apostles. And He tells them that they're going to receive the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is going to reveal unto them. He's going to guide you into all truth. And He's going to bring back to your remembrance whatsoever things I have said unto you. See, they were men, they forgot. Now, the Lord never said anything personally to me in person. Right? You agree? So when He says He's going to bring back to your remembrance what I've said unto you, He's talking to the apostles and what they may have forgotten along the way that Jesus had taught them while He was on the earth. And so to fix that, He said, the Father, when I go away, the Comforter, or the Holy Spirit will come and He will remind you and He will guide you into all truth. So I had that conversation with them. It's much like when He talked to them in Acts chapter 1 and told them to not depart from the city of Jerusalem until they be endued with power from on high. And so they received the Holy Spirit in Acts chapter 2. The apostles did. And was able to speak under the guidance of the Holy Spirit the Word of God. And then not only did they speak it, but guess what they did? They wrote it down. So when the Holy Spirit revealed the mind of God to the apostles, they wrote it down. And now if we want to know the mind of God, guess what we have to do? We have to read it. So you've got to understand that point. There's a chart that I shared with you in our Acts class and other times, the chain of revelation. And we studied that from the book of Acts chapter 1 verses 1 and 2. And the writer of the book of Acts, in all likelihood, Luke, the former treatise or writing, have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and to teach until the day in which He was taken up. After that, He, through the Holy Spirit, gave commandments to the apostles whom He had chosen. And so He gave those commandments to the apostles by the Holy Spirit, and they wrote it down. So that Paul would write to Timothy and say, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing or handling aright the word of God. Or you read in the book of Ephesians, chapter 3, verses 3 through 5. When Paul talks about the fact that he had written, briefly, in few words, he says, I wrote in few words concerning the mystery, as I wrote afore in few words, whereby when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ by the Holy Spirit. Then in 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 20 and 21, as you think about the Holy Spirit playing a part in revealing the Word, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scriptures of any private interpretation, for the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. That is, they were moved as the wind would blow a sail. You get that same idea from the book of Acts when Paul was on the ship and it was being borne of the wind. It's the same original Greek word. As that ship was being blown by the wind, it's the same idea in 2 Peter chapter 1, that these men spake as they were moved by the Holy Spirit, directed by the Holy Spirit. And so they pinned those things down. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, fully furnished unto every good work. The Holy Spirit, another point you need to know, the Holy Spirit is not the Father. He's not the Son. I've also studied that with you and gave you just a ton of passages in the New Testament where you can read about the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit in the same verse or a group of verses, like one or two verses back to back. For example, I'll give you a couple of examples. In the book of Matthew, chapter 4, when Jesus went to John to be baptized of him, here it was, Jesus was on the earth in the water, baptized of John. When he came up out of the water, the Bible talks about that the Spirit in the former likeness of a dove descended from heaven unto him. Well, Jesus was in the water. You had the Holy Spirit in the form of a dove. And then you had a voice from heaven which said, this is my Son in whom I'm well pleased. And so you had the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit all in the same passage, but impossible for them to be the very same being. You see that point? And then you go back to 1 John chapter 5. And you read about the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, all in the same passage. But ladies and gentlemen, the Son is not the Father. The Father sent the Son. You cannot even become a Christian except you believe that Jesus is the Son of God, the only begotten sent of the Father. Jesus said, except you believe that I'm He, you'll die in your sins, John 8:24. You've got to believe that. You cannot believe that the Son is the Father and then turn right around and confess the good confession. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. What do you mean you believe He's the Son of God? You said you believe that He is the Father. You can't believe both. You see that point? And the Holy Spirit, not only is He not the Father, He's not the Son. Think about that in John 14, 15, 16. Jesus, in reference to His Father in heaven, He said, listen, the Comforter, which is the Holy Spirit, will not come except I go away. And when I go away, I'll send Him. My Father will send Him in my name. He will guide you. Not the Father will guide you. Not the Son will guide you. But the Holy Spirit will guide you into all truth. You see that point? You got to see that. It's simple. And so they're not the same. But someone says, in 1 John chapter 5, preacher, the Bible says these are one. That doesn't mean that they're the same person. Two illustrations come to my mind when I think about that point. That sometimes two are referenced as being one in the Bible. Did you know that? I know time gets away from us, but I want you to know these points in general about the Holy Spirit. Sometimes two are referred to as one in the Bible. For example, husband and wives. husbands and wives are referred to as one. These two shall be one flesh, Genesis chapter 2. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, when Paul is having to deal with division, he talks about the fact that he and Apollos are laboring in spreading the gospel. He says, one plants and another waters. He says, neither he that plants is anything nor he that watereth, but they are one. And God gives the increase. Well, me and Chris may be laboring together in the work, but we're not the same person, are we? That's how he uses it. So in 1 John chapter 5, when he talks about the Father, Son, the Holy Spirit are one, he doesn't mean that they're the same person, but they're one in unity. As a husband and wife are one, as co-laborers together in the work and service of God are unified together. So the Holy Spirit and the Father, the Son, are one. We've got to know these things concerning the Holy Spirit. One last point, and there's many more in a general sense that you could talk about concerning the Holy Spirit. And that is the Holy Spirit dwells in Christians. You could do a whole lesson all devoted to itself on that, but I want to briefly give you some passages that talk about that. There are five New Testament passages that deal with the idea of the Holy Spirit dwelling in man. Now, sometimes we use the word indwell. The King James Version uses the word dwell. And when you're talking to people who believe that he indwells in a literal sense inside of Christians, you've got to have them qualify what they mean by that. Because many times they think that he personally, literally, is inside of them. Romans 8, verses 9 and 11. These passages speak about the Holy Spirit dwelling in God's people. Romans 8, verses 9 and 11. It's two verses. Verse 9, verse 11. 1 Corinthians 3, 16. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 14. James chapter 4. And in verse 5. All of those talk about the Spirit dwelling in man. What I want you to see about this point, when folks say that the Holy Spirit dwells in you, does the Bible say that? He sure does. But you've got to ask the question, how does he dwell inside of Christians? Personally, physically, literally, you mean he left heaven and he's inside of you right now? No, the Bible never teaches that. Never teaches that. All that the Holy Spirit, by the way, the only time, I've already established to you that the Holy Spirit is deity. The only time that a God being took upon himself flesh is with Christ. That's the only time. Not with the Holy Spirit, not with the Father. All that the Holy Spirit accomplishes today is done through the instrumentality of the Word of God. Everything he accomplishes in man today is done through the Word that he revealed. Just mark it down. You have folks give you a list. When folks say, you just ask, say, now listen, tell me what you think the Holy Spirit does. Well, he makes us clean. For everything they give you that they think that is done by the Holy Spirit, literally, there's a Bible passage that says it's done by the Word of God that the Holy Spirit revealed. Yes, the Holy Spirit did it, but how did he accomplish it? Through the Word. Holy Spirit makes clean. Jesus said, you are clean through the word that I've spoken unto you, John 15, verse 3. He gives light. The entrance of thy word giveth light. It gives understanding to the simple. Psalm 119, 130. He quickens. He makes us alive. Well, the Bible says the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. Hebrews chapter 4 and then verse 12. Well, the Holy Spirit purifies us. Seeing he purified their hearts by faith, we studied about in Acts chapter 15. Seeing you have purified your souls and obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, 1 Peter chapter 1. Well, he gives us hope. Well, it's done through the Word. You are saved by hope. Romans chapter 8, verse 24. He comforts us. The Holy Spirit does. Okay, I agree. He comforts us. But it's done through the Word. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. 1 Thessalonians 4 and in verse 18. I say all that to say that he dwells in the Christian. There's no doubt about that. But all he accomplishes is done through the Word of God. If the Holy Spirit accomplishes something out of the Word of God, in addition to the Word of God, then just close the book. Just close the book. But all that we can know to obey God and to live faithful unto God is accomplished by the revealing of the Word of God by the Holy Spirit. So be thankful for the Bible. Study it, believe it, and obey it. Much more could be said about the Holy Spirit. Should you be here this morning, not a Christian, you have an opportunity to do that. Preacher, how do I become a Christian? Well, what did the Holy Spirit say to you to become a Christian? Read what the Holy Spirit said to become a Christian. Got his book. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Romans 10:17. You must believe. The Holy Spirit said, you must believe that Jesus is the Son of God. John 8:24. The Holy Spirit said, you must repent. He revealed that to the Bible writers. Except you repent, shall likewise perish. Luke 13:3-5. The Holy Spirit said, confess Christ. Matthew 10:32-33. The Holy Spirit said, be baptized for the remission of your sins. That is, not be baptized because they're already washed away by the Lamb's blood, but be baptized so that they will be washed away when you do what He said, to have them washed away by the blood of the Lamb. That is, to be immersed. Acts 2:38. That's when the blood of the Lamb washes away every sin you've ever committed. Revelation 1:5. That's what the Holy Spirit said. Do you believe Him? Do you believe the Holy Spirit when He revealed those things? I do. Suppose you're here this morning, you have done that, but you've turned your back on the Lord, you've not lived your life right, and you want to straighten all that up and come back home where you belong. Come back home to the Father. Do that. Repent of your unfaithfulness. Make confession unto God in prayer. 1 John 1:9. We have His assurance. He is faithful and just to forgive us. We'll pray with you and for you. Don't delay. Come right now.